Bless them. Our help is in the name of the Lord, who has made heaven and earth, who keepeth truth forever, and who never forsaketh the works of his own hands. Amen. Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God the Father and Christ Jesus our Lord, in communion with the Holy Ghost. Amen. Congregation, let us sing from Psalter number 11, stanzas 1 through 4. O Jehovah, hear my words. To my thoughts attentive be. Hear my cry, my King, my God. I will make my prayer to thee. 1 through 4 of Psalter number 11.
We wish to read out of God's holy and precious word from 1 Thessalonians, thereof chapter 5. But of the times and the seasons, brethren, ye have no need that I write unto you, for yourselves know perfectly that the day of the Lord so cometh as a thief in the night. For when they shall say peace and safety, then sudden destruction cometh upon them, as travail upon a woman with child, and they shall not escape. But ye, brethren, are not in darkness, that that day should overtake you as a thief. Ye are all the children of light, and the children of the day. We are not of the night, nor of darkness. Therefore let us not sleep, as do others, but let us watch and be sober. For they that sleep, sleep in the night, and they that be drunken are drunken in the night. But let us, who are of the day, be sober, putting on the breastplate of faith and love, and for an helmet the hope of salvation. For God hath not appointed us to wrath, but to obtain salvation by our Lord Jesus Christ, who died for us, that, whether we wake or sleep, we should live together with him. Wherefore comfort yourselves together, and edify one another, even as also ye do. And we beseech you, brethren, to know them which labor among you, and are over you in the Lord, and admonish you, and to esteem them very highly in love for their work's sake, and be at peace among yourselves. Now we exhort you, brethren, warn them that are unruly, comfort the feeble-minded, support the weak, be patient toward all men. See that none render evil for evil unto any man, but ever follow that which is good, both among yourselves and to all men. Rejoice evermore. Pray without ceasing. In everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. Quench not the Spirit. Despise not prophesyings. Prove all things. Hold fast that which is good. Abstain from all appearance of evil. And the very God of peace sanctify you wholly. And I pray God, your whole spirit and soul and body be preserved blameless unto the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. Faithful is he that calleth you, who also will do it. Brethren, pray for us. Greet all the brethren with an holy kiss. I charge you by the Lord that this epistle be read unto all the holy brethren. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. Amen.
Let us try to pray and ask for the blessing and help of the Lord. O Lord of heaven and of earth, and thou who art our maker and our creator, oh, how is it possible and that we have turned our backs to thee, and that we have chosen the prince of darkness rather than thy service? And when thou hast made us, and when thou dost provide for us, and then each and every day again, we confirm the choice of our father Adam in his departure from thee, in our choice for this world, and our choice for that prince of darkness. O Lord, what maketh us that thou dost still look up upon us in thy long suffering? We can read of thy servant that he did pray unto the Lord that it might not rain, and that it rain not for the space of 3 years and 6 months. Oh, such a long time, until there was no more grass for the cattle, until there was a wailing and a weeping even among the animals. Nothing to eat, but no repentance from the heart of man. Not a single tear. What should we wait for the Lord any longer? And then there is only a fish to heaven because we think we are worthy of it. Oh Lord, thou knowest what we need. We need to be humbled. We need to be brought low. And that is alone the work of thy Holy Spirit. Oh, there is nothing in a natural way in and of itself that is sufficient power to bring down our proud hearts and to lay us in the dust before thee. It is only thy work. And when thou wilt come with thy Spirit, oh, then our hearts shall be laid low in the dust. And then we shall be made to bow before thee. O Lord, thou knowest why that we do gather in this day. It is not a Sabbath day. It is a day set aside by men. But it is a day set aside because we feel our dependence upon thee and that we cannot miss the blessings which must come out of thy hand, and that thou may supply for the cattle and bless men's toil. Oh, then there is nothing and that we can do to grant ourselves the blessing that all must come from thee. And thou knowest that we have squandered thy gifts in the seasons that have gone by, and so that we have made ourselves over and over unworthy, and that thou shouldest hear us. And yet we do open our mouths before thee, which ought to be closed because of our own sin. But Lord, we cannot do otherwise, because we cannot receive except from thee. And that thou art our benefactor. Oh, give us to come in a right way. Teach us to pray. Oh, give us to come in the way of true humility. And give us to come in the way of shame. And that it may be upon our own faces. And that we may come in the guilt before thee. And that we may beseech of thee an undeserved blessing in the season that lies before us, even when we do not deserve it. Show it unto us, Lord, and bring us in the right place for the first time or by renewal, because we cannot bring ourselves there. But thou who art over all the nature, and thou who dost give the sun to shine, and thou who dost bring the clouds, and givest the rain in due season. Oh, we beseech thee for thy blessing for the fields in the season that lies before us, that thou would make us glad with thy deeds, and that thy goodness may lead us to a true repentance, and that thy goodness may break our hard and stony hearts, and not lead us to live in luxury and in all the sinful vanity and carnality of this world, but that thou may provide for the many needs that there are in the midst of the congregation and in the midst of this world. For thou knowest the causes also, and that our deacons do go about to collect the alms. Lord, then there is for the poor, and there is for the needy, but there are also many other causes. Wilt thou look upon our own school, provide for it, and all those that labor therein, and that thou may remember the board, that thou may remember our teachers and all those that are connected in any way, and that thou may bless all the labors and that are being done on the behalf of parents in that place. And oh, give us teachers that may stand in the fear, the tender fear of thy most holy name, and before our children. Wilt thou look upon our parents and give them in the first place to feel their responsibility in instructing their children, especially in that one thing that is needful, for that is not the task of others in the first place, but it is their responsibility. Oh, that thou may lay it upon us in truth, and that thou may give wisdom, that thou may give grace, and that thou may bless our rising generation. And Lord, that thou may also give a blessing to all those causes that stand in need of support, for they are many. Look upon our theological school. Wilt thou bless us also in the season that is to come, if it could please thee, with men of thy choosing, who are called and converted by thee, who are called to go forth to that holy work, and that thy word may go over the length and the breadth of this world, and also to the established congregations, and that thy truth that thou hast given unto us by way of our forefathers may also be maintained, and that thy holy word may be taught and may be preached, and that there may be fruit upon the labors in thy house in a special way in the season that lies before us. And when that seed is not only sown in the midst of the fields in this world, but when that seed is cast out in the midst of thy church, in the midst of this congregation and our denomination, O Lord, could it please thee to give that dew, to give those gentle showers, and to give the sunshine, that thou may plow up the fallow ground, and that thou may bring the seed into the depth of the earth, bring it to die there, Lord. Oh, that thou may bring forth life from death, and that in thy time, that it may come peeping above the ground, Lord, that it may become evident in the fruits that will be brought forth. Oh, that they are not so often seen, but Lord, could it be that they are seen also in our midst, amongst young and old, and that eternity may tell of all the work that thou art doing. And wilt thou so bless also the means that we are using, when a young man has been elected to the office of elder in this congregation last night. Lord, we may acknowledge thee for all thy great goodness, but thou knowest also what he needs when he will go forward in this labor, for it is an impossible labor from the side of a man. But Lord, wilt thou be with him on his right and on his left, and with us as a consistory in thy mercy, to bless us, and that we might feel continually that thine everlasting arms are underneath. Hear us, O Lord, from heaven, thy dwelling place. We are undeserving of the least of all thy notice and attention, but wilt thou take reasons out of thyself, out of thy own dear and beloved Son, in whom thou art so well pleased, and give him yet also a church. O gather that 144,000 also from among us and from our children, O that they might come and weep with weeping and supplications, and that thou mayest hear their cry from heaven, their dwelling place. Do look upon all the needy ones, those that do receive treatments. Lord, thou knowest the places where they are, and thou hast given new life in the midst of the congregation to be born, and thou hast made it well. O humble the hearts of fathers and of mothers and of families, and O give that these births may be, that they may be born to be born again, and that thou may increase the number of thy true church amongst young and old in our midst, care for all the lonely ones and all the needy ones in mind or body and addictions and all the afflictions of life. Remember husbands and wives. And thou knowest where that there are difficulties also in marriages. Lord, thou alone art able to supply. We are but sinful men, and we can have disagreements with one another. But Lord, could it please thee to bind together as it ought to be, and that thou may do what we cannot do, and that thou may be mindful of the families that are in our midst. Care for us, O Lord, in thy mercy, also in this evening. Give us strength, give us wisdom, give us clarity, and that we may be able to bring forth new and old things out of thy law. Glorify thy great and worthy name. Keep us from ourselves, and keep us from iniquity. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. While your offering is being received, we'll sing from Psalter 295, stanzas 1 through 4. They that traffic on the sea, while unceasing watch they keep, see Jehovah's majesty and his wonders in the deep. For he bids the storm wind fly, lifting ocean's waves on high. 1 through 4 of Psalter 295. Beloved congregation, how quickly do the seasons pass. It is already prayer day once again, and before us lies, if we are spared, another season wherein the farmers will go out and plow the fields and sow their seed, and that the ground may be watered and that the crops may be harvested. It is always a very delightful time. It is a time that is full of hope. It is a time that is full of promise, leaving that bitter winter behind us and looking forward to the spring. We sing that often. The hills and vales with verdure clad are girt with joy, and the earth is glad. And then there is expectation. And what congregation is that expectation? Well, the psalmist says that new life is all abroad. We do not only look forward to that, but we also expect it. We expect it. How is that that we expect it? Well, you say, boys and girls, because that is what always happens. That is right. That is our experience, right? That happened last year, and that happened the year before, and the year before, and yes, some years a little more, and some years a little less. And yet, overall, and then we see that the Lord is fulfilling His promise. That He says that seed time and harvest shall not cease in the midst of this world. And still, we gather together. Still, we gather together every year again for a prayer day. You say, why? Is it necessary for us to pray for what the Lord has promised? Are there not many in this world that receive the same blessings that we do and that yet never pray for it? There is a great difference whether the blessings of the Lord come out of His right hand or whether they come out of His left hand. There is a great difference whether the blessings of the Lord are coming from His long suffering or if they are coming to us out of His favor. It is not in the first place the outward gifts, but it is in the first place the favor of the Lord underneath those outward gifts, even if that the Lord is limiting those gifts for us in the season that is to come. David says, a little that a righteous man hath is better than the riches of many wicked. And what is a wicked man? We read in the Bible, a wicked man is a man who will not pray. The wicked, through the pride of his countenance, will not seek after God. God is not in all his thoughts. Is that our life too? Though we are religious, that actually God is not really in all of our thoughts. Our text for this special occasion can be found in the portion that was read to you, 1 Thessalonians 5 and the 17th verse. 1 Thessalonians 5 and verse 17, pray without ceasing. So far, the words of our text, and our theme is prayer commended. First, the command to pray. We read, pray. The command to pray. Second, the encouragement in prayer. Pray without ceasing. The encouragement in prayer. Thus, prayer commended first the command to pray, and second, the encouragement in prayer. Pray. That is, congregation, not just a suggestion. That is not just advice. No, it is a command. It is the command of God. And why does God command us to pray? Because prayer is in the first place an acknowledgement. It is an acknowledgement of God to whom we pray. It is an acknowledgement of our dependence upon Him. It is an acknowledgement that we are not able to provide for ourselves. Because children, if you can provide for yourself, you don't ask anyone else for it. Then we do it ourselves. But when we pray to God, then we are saying to the Lord that these are things that we are not able to give to ourselves. And thus that is glorifying unto the Lord, just to fold our hands and to close our eyes is an acknowledgement of Him, that we do not have sufficiency, that He is all sufficient, that He has power to provide for us, and also an acknowledgement that He is willing to provide for us. That is the reason, and that is such a great offense, that men would pray to any man or to any God beside the true God. And thus that is provoking the Lord to anger. We can read about Moses, the children of Israel in the wilderness, how that those children of Israel with Aaron, they have made a golden calf. And there they have worshipped that calf. These be the gods that have brought thee up out of the land of Egypt. These are the gods that have power. And they have bowed down and they have danced before these gods. And the Lord said to Moses, let me alone, and let my anger wax hot against this people. For us to pray is actually a very common thing. Children, your father and your mother, and your teacher, they teach you to pray from when you are very, very young. But we have so many blessings, and the most common blessings that we have, we actually do not even see, in order that we may consider them and that we may appreciate them and acknowledge the Lord for them. What does it mean to pray? What does it mean to pray? To pray, congregation, is an aspect of communion. That is communion with God. That is the God of the whole universe. Can you fathom that? That actually then we speak to the God that is controlling everything that we can see and feel around us. Abraham, he says, behold, that I take it upon myself to speak unto the Lord, who am but dust and ashes. Abraham felt to whom that he was praying. Abraham felt that he was praying unto God himself. Do you ever feel that? Do you ever feel that? Because if we feel that, then in those times, then our supplication is not so casual. Then in those times, our supplication is not so common. No, then we have a certain reverence. Then we have a respect. And then we are not speaking unto the Lord like we are speaking unto our fellow man. Abraham did stand in awe when he did open his mouth to speak unto God. To pray unto God is to approach a spirit. Because God is a spirit. Thus prayer is a spiritual act. Spiritual act. There is so much that is natural that is not worthy of the name of prayer, that has the form of prayer, the form of words and of folding our hands and closing our eyes. But it is lacking something. It is lacking what is spiritual. How much of our prayer is really prayer? Is really prayer? Does not lack that which is truly spiritual. To pray unto God is to pray to our Creator. That is to pray unto our very Maker, who has created us and with that ability also to draw near to Him. Different than the animals, because the animals do not have that ability to draw near unto God in prayer like the Lord has created man to do. And thus, at the very outset, when we fold our hands and when we close our eyes, then we must feel something and be impressed with that fact that we are not an animal. That we have been created so high above the animals. And thus when we fold our hands and then we close our eyes, then we ought to be impressed with the fact that we are accountable to the God who has made us with the ability to draw nigh unto Him. And thus when our heart is wandering away from Him, then we ought to feel something of the great abomination of that thing. When we approach unto God, then we approach unto a God of great, great power. The Bible speaks about Him. It says it is He who has laid the very foundations of the earth, that it should not be removed forever. It is that God who layeth the beams of His chambers in the waters. You ever go to the ocean and you may see that vast sea. And then we may have a little impression of the greatness of that creation. You go into the mountains, and And we see some of these things, and then to feel something of whom that we are approaching when we fold our hands and when we close our eyes to pray to God is to pray not only to our Maker, but to pray to our Provider, the upholder of that whole universe, who speaks and it is done. And that God who is, we read, riding upon the wings of the wind, the clouds are his chariot. And thus, when we may see those clouds, then we may feel something of that God who is riding in those wings of that wind. When we pray to God, then we pray to a God who is of great sufficiency. Then he is a God whose storehouses are much greater than the storehouses of Joseph. The psalmist says that he holdeth our very soul in life, that he sends forth his spirit and then they are created. Then he takes away their breath and then they die and they return unto the ground, unto the earth. Thus, he who is in control, do we believe that? That he is in control of everything that is taking place in the midst of this whole universe. Paul says to the Thessalonians, pray, pray. Thus the very capacity to pray to such a God is really an inestimable wonder. And that wonder is increased by our fall. Why? Because our fall, man did pray, Adam and Eve, they had to pray also before the fall. Because they were dependent creatures created by God. Thus they had to ask the Lord, depending upon him every day. But now the fall has introduced a new element into that wonder. And what is that element? That element is the mercy of God. To those who are miserable, that was not before the fall. That element is the grace of God to those who are unworthy. That was also not before the fall. Thus the devils are never instructed to pray. And how is our sin so much worse? How is their sin so much worse than ours? But for the devils there is no hope. They prayed unto the Lord Jesus that they may go into the swine. And then they went down into the deep. There is no hope. There is no expectation for the devils. And thus the command that the Lord gives man to pray, that infers something. What does that infer? What does it mean? It means that the Lord is also ready to forgive. That he is ready to provide despite the unworthiness of a man to receive all those blessings that he so stands in need of and that he is asking for the Lord every day. It was a great honor to the father of the prodigal when in his great need in that swine pit, that man did say within himself, I will arise and I will go unto my father. That was a very great honor for that father. That father did delight himself to be gracious. That elder brother did not understand that. That elder brother was angry at his own father for being gracious unto his brother. And his father said, "Son, that is who I am. That is who I am. And that is who I delight myself to be, that I may be gracious unto him." And in the way of repentance, that son has received from his father more than he ever deserved and that he ever expected and that he ever even asked his father for. Pray. That is an unfathomable thing. Why? Because God is also a God that cannot be fathomed. And what is that now? For a fallen soul to come on his knees and to draw nigh unto God. Pray, the Lord says. That is his command, not to creatures who have not fallen. That is his command unto his fallen creatures. He is not only a God of the creation, no, but he is also the God of redemption. Do you need that? Do you need that and more? Of course, we need our daily bread. We need our daily bread. That is now coming first in the Lord's Prayer. Is that not a wonder? Not because it is more important in the end, but we cannot live without our daily bread. But what is now the need that is living in our soul? Because the Lord commands his fallen creatures, pray. Do you know who he commands to pray? He commands to pray just those who are impotent. They cannot provide for themselves those spiritual blessings any more than they can provide for themselves the natural blessings. Pray, he says. Pray seeking my power. In all of your powerlessness, in all of your impotency, pray seeking my mercy. In all of your misery, in all of your sin, pray seeking my grace in all of your unworthiness. Pray, he says. I have everything. I have everything for the body. I have everything for your soul, my fallen creatures. Pray. Ask, and ye shall receive it. Seek it. And ye shall find it. Knock, and it shall be opened unto you. Pray. But he says more than that. He says, and that is in our second thought, a great encouragement in prayer. And why do people need encouragements? People need encouragements because they are discouraged. Are you ever discouraged? Are you ever discouraged in prayer? And what makes you to be discouraged in prayer? Oh, the Lord says, pray, he says, without ceasing. You say, maybe, children, how can that be? That we are commanded to pray without ceasing. Must I go to my closet? And must I stay in my closet all the day and all the night? Does my father not have to do his work then? Must my mother be all day upon her knees? No, that cannot be. That would be contradicting the scriptures, wouldn't it? Because in the Bible we read, 6 days shalt thou labor. Thus pray without ceasing does not mean that we must cease all of our work. But congregation, how many of us do have a prayer in our heart while we are busy with our labors? Do you ever have that, mothers? When you are busy in your home, oh, does your soul go out? Is it lifting up your children unto the Lord? Fathers, and when your children are disobedient, is there then a grief when you are leaving that home in the morning, and a sigh that is going up unto God, that he will give to your children a true repentance? Oh, is it your own soul also that is going out unto the Lord? No, then there is no form in that prayer. Then there is no bowing of the knees. There is no folding of the hands. But then there is a heart. And there is a heart that is crying, crying, crying out unto the living God. Oh, is there such a prayer in your heart that does not cease? That goes with you day by day and week by week and month by month. Or is there an earnestness? Does it come also, you say, that that prayer needs to go for the very existence of your own life? Pray without ceasing. What do we read in Psalm 107? Or in our prosperity, then we often forget to pray. Never climb in bed. Never climb in bed, young people. And then get out again. Because he said, I forgot to pray. Does shame cover your face? Say, because that need, oh, the need that does not live in my heart like it ought to lay in my heart. But now read Psalm 107. Oh, you'll read that 4 times over again. And then they are brought to cry unto God in their trouble. You ever cry unto God in your trouble? And maybe you say, I am not worthy of an answer from the Lord. Because I cry unto God in my trouble. I do. But when I am in prosperity, I forget him. I forget him. Then it would be no wonder that the Lord would pass me by. What do we read? Read that psalm again. It is such a beautiful psalm. Oh, they cry unto God in their trouble, and he delivered them out of their distresses. When they cried unto God in their trouble, what does the Lord say? Pray. Do you not deserve it? Pray anyway. Pray anyway. As one who does not deserve it. And then we read there over and over again. Oh, that men would praise the Lord for his goodness and for his wonderful works to the children of men. Let us sing 188. 1, 3, and 4. Make haste, O my God, to deliver, I pray. O Lord, to my rescue, make haste. Let those who would harm me be filled with dismay and in their own folly disgraced. 1, 3, and 4 of Psalter 188. To the Romans and also to the Colossians, the Apostle Paul writes, continue in prayer. That is, do not cease, do not stop praying. For whom is such an encouragement to continue in prayer necessary? You know, we read of blind Bartimaeus. We read that he was praying, and we read that many charged him that he should hold his peace. They charged him. And in the original language, that is a very, very strong word. They rebuked him. They admonished him that he should hold his peace. Were you ever charged to hold your peace? Did such a voice ever come into your soul when you were trying to pray to God, admonishing you, charging you that you should cease, that you should stop, that you should forsake your prayer? Under what kind of circumstances are such voices coming? Under what circumstances did they come for Bartimaeus? It was when that calling was extended, when there was no answer immediately. And then sometimes in your heart you say, or you hear a voice that says, it is hopeless. The Lord does not hear you. And that the Lord is so far away. And that the Lord will not hear you. And then there are all kinds of reasons. The voices that say in your heart, maybe one, it is that you have sinned too greatly. And another, a voice in his heart that says, your sin was against better knowledge. You ever have that voice? A voice in your heart that said, when you sinned, you knew better. And because you knew better, there is no forgiveness for you. Maybe there is another voice that says your sin is the sin against the Holy Ghost. Your sin is unforgivable. Maybe there is another voice. And that voice says you have been praying so long that it is now making itself manifest that you are reprobate. That you are reprobate. And there is no hope for you. And therefore you might as well give it all up. Why does the Lord wait? Does the Lord then delight in the misery of his people? That the Lord is waiting and that they would cry and cry and cry unto him. In the book of Zechariah, we read that the Lord says that in all the land, two parts therein shall be cut off and die. He says, but the third part in it shall be left therein. So two-thirds is going to be cut off. The Lord is going to make a distinction. He's going to make a separation, he says, in all the land. And thus, within his own church, that is the visible church, that the Lord is going to make a distinction. How is he going to make that distinction? What do we read in the book of Job? Job asks, in all his affliction, Job asks, he says, will the wicked always call upon God? Or he will call for a little while. But will he continue to call upon God? What did Job's wife say in that affliction? She said, curse God and die. Stop. Stop. It is useless. Curse God and die. There, congregation, it is made evident. What is made evident? What is the true work? And what is not the true work? That is what Job was speaking about when he says, will the wicked always call upon God? Temporary faith is just that. It is temporary. Pray without ceasing. If a man is not preserved by the Lord, a man will not persevere, because the perseverance of the church that is coming from the preservation of the Lord. In all the land, two parts therein shall be cut off and die. And the third part that is left, what does the Lord say of them? He says, I will bring that third part through the fire. I'm going to bring them through the fire. Third part that is left, that is my part. And I'm going to refine them like silver is refined. And I'm going to try them like gold is tried. Why is that? That is no more to separate that silver and the gold from all the stones and the pebbles and the sand. That is done now. Two-thirds and one-third. And now the Lord takes that gold and that silver and he's going to purify it. That is, that there needs to be separated out of the people what doesn't belong in that people. And now what is necessary for that? That is the fire. The fire. Oh, the impurities. They have to be separated from the gold and from the silver. The woman of Canaan, she cried unto the Lord, have mercy on me. O thou son of David, my daughter is grievously vexed with the devil. And what do we read? I mean specifically, what do we read? And he answered her not a word. Nothing. Know what that is? Nothing. How long? Nothing. Do you think you are alone? You know what David said? He said, how long wilt thou forget me, O God? Forever, forever, not a word. And then voices. And then voices, send her away. Send her away, because she crieth after us. You ever hear that? When the time is getting longer and longer. No answer yet has brought relief. I will bring the third part through the fire. Through the fire. Because there is so much sludge that needs to be removed from that gold and from that silver. That needs to be skimmed off. There is, congregation, so much of a broken covenant that is still living in the heart of that true people of the Lord. You know who the Lord saves? Sinners. Sinners. Are you a sinner? It's all that can be left is a sinner. And how is that attained? That is attained, congregation, in the fire. In the fire. Is there no word yet? Nothing? Is there more there than just a sinner left? Is there more there than just a sinner left? So that there is not yet a word from the Lord. The Lord is not a half a savior. The Lord is a complete savior. He will not have anything from us. And when there is room for him, you will hear from him. When there is room for him, you will hear from him. What does he say? I will refine that silver and I'm going to try that gold. And they are going to call upon me and then I will hear them. When they call upon me and I will say to them, you are my people. And they are going to say, the Lord is my God. What did the Lord Jesus say? And shall not God avenge his own elect that cry day and night unto him, though he bear long with them? Do they cease? They cannot cease. Can you not cease? Can you not cease? What does Peter say? O Lord, to whom shall we go? Thou alone hast the words of eternal life. Pray. Pray without ceasing. If it had to be to your final breath, would that not be worth it? What does the Lord Jesus say? He says, pray and faint not. Oh, that poor woman, that poor mother, that woman of Canaan. Oh, she was refined and she came forth as gold in that trial. Then she did not cease because there was a secret hand from the other side preserving, and so that woman persevered. Oh, do you ever feel that? sometimes a secret hand from the other side, so that you cannot leave off when still no answer has brought relief. Pray without ceasing. Oh, the Lord knows so much better than we do. Moses was born in the affliction of God's people, was 80 years later, born in their affliction, 80 years later, that he came back, sent back for their deliverance. Do you know what we think? We think we wait for the Lord. Do you know what the truth is? The Lord waiteth for us. We read that he waits to be gracious, to be gracious. What is he waiting for? Oh, he is waiting for a fit object of his mercy. He is waiting for a fit object of his grace. A poor, a miserable, an undone sinner, from whom he may receive all the honor and all the glory. Oh, congregation, pray. Pray without ceasing. This is the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. Oh, they are instructed. They are instructed in that way of waiting. And they will not wait in vain, because they shall not be ashamed that put their trust in him. Amen. O Lord of heaven and of earth, wilt thou give a little help, a little encouragement in the way of waiting? For thou knowest those that wait upon thee. O, give them to hang upon thee. Give them to plead with thee. Give them never to let thee go. And could it please thee, and that thou mayest hear them and answer their cry, deliver, O Lord, as thou alone art able to do. Humble us under thy word, under thy great goodness, that we also may be able to bring unto sinful men. Lord, we are all so undeserving, but thou art so good. And when thou art also so righteous, and thou art so just, but thou art so merciful and so gracious. Oh, could it be that each and every one of us may experience it in our own hearts? Dismiss us with thy blessing. Bring us safely home. Care for us in the days ahead, and bring us to thy house once again with desire on thy day. Forgive all our sin for Jesus' sake. Amen. 72, 1, 2, and 4. Lord, hear me when I pray, and answer me in grace. Oft as I hear thee say, come ye and seek my face. My heart and lips their answer speak. Thy face, Jehovah, will I seek. 1, 2, and 4 of Psalter 72. Receive the blessing of the Lord and go in peace. The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. Amen.